and grace to learn how to do this. Because I have this new series, I feel like it's really an assignment from the Lord, but I also feel like I have a prophetic word. So it's like I don't have time to do both. All right? So we're going to have to try to feel our way through this and see, because both of them are pressing me on the inside. There's a pressure. So I'm going to release the seed of the prophetic word. What's a prophetic word? It's a word the Holy Spirit gives you for right now. Right? But the sermon also, the series, which we're going to call it The Holy Who. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Who. Right? And that's the title of the series, The Holy Who. Who is He? And we're going to explore from the word who He is and what He does. And number three, how to yield to Him.
That's good.
Who He is first, what He does, and how to yield better to Him. By the end of this series, I want you to be able to recognize the Holy Spirit better. Also, not just recognize Him in the Scriptures, but recognize Him working in you. Recognize Him working through you. And recognize Him working through others so that you can facilitate and yield more to that. And then recognize Him in our gatherings.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. The Holy Spirit is called the Holy Spirit. Old school folks call Him the Holy Ghost. But you know, if you're new to the things of God, that could freak you out because ghosts are scary. But the Holy Spirit is not a spirit of fear. And He's not Casper the Ghost. All right, He's God.
Hallelujah.
He's also a person without a body. But He's a person, has a personality. And we want to get to know the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to release this prophetic word in seed form and give you two scriptures. And we'll see how this works out. And this is going to sound negative, but it's the compassion of God. The will of God for your life will not come to pass automatically. You could go to your grave having not fulfilled what God called you to do. Time is short. Okay, that's the word. The will of God is not automatic. There's things you have to do to fulfill what God calls you to do. And it won't just automatically happen. Time is short. And God wants every one of you to stay on track or get back on track. And it's not too late. Many people mistake God's mercy for His grace. Mercy and grace are two different things. Mercy is you not getting what you deserve. Because we all deserve hell. We're sons of Adam. Come on, somebody. Right?
Yeah.
So when we received Jesus, we received sonship. We didn't deserve that. Jesus paid for it.
Yeah.
The mercy of God withholds through the blood of Jesus all of the punishment and judgment we deserve. Mercy is not getting what you really deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve.
Amen.
Now, grace, when you confuse grace and mercy, you keep doing things that destroy your life and call it grace, but it's mercy and it puts you into a place of powerlessness.
Yeah.
Grace is the ability to do what you can't do in your own strength. It's empowerment. Grace is the power not to destroy your life.
Yes, absolutely.
Grace is the power to fulfill the plan of God that you could not do without His grace.
Right.
Am I talking too mysteriously? Is this understandable?
Yeah, I get it.
And the Lord's saying to you, He has a plan for you individually, but you have to want it. And pursue it. And seek it. And make corrections and be willing to be corrected. Because part of God's grace is correction. My dad didn't let me drive the car on high interstate the first time I got behind the wheel. Because I didn't have the skill set to keep myself safe.
Sure.
So he had to wait until I had developed a certain ability, a certain skill set before he would turn me loose on the interstate. So there are certain things in your life the Lord wants to do for you and through you, but he can't release you into it because you would hurt yourself and others. I don't know if I'm... Okay, so what is grace? Divine, unmerited empowerment. He'll use you not because you're awesome, but because he's awesome in you. Well, let's look at some verses on this. We're trying to establish the fact that the will of God is not automatic. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Let's look at grace. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Praise God. Who all wants just to do everything God put you in your mother's womb to do, right?
Yes.
When you were put in your mother's womb, you were put there on purpose.
Yes.
With a plan.
Yes.
Well, my parents said I was an accident, but not to God.
No.
And he wired you to do a certain thing that nobody else ever in human history is wired to do. There's only one you. And guys, this is not rehearsal. You don't get a redo. Today, you only get it once. Now, God's mercy is new every morning, and his grace is new all the time, but God can't recreate today tomorrow. Seize the day. And if you failed to do it, thank God for his mercy. But let's get a hold of his grace. Thank God for grace and mercy. Amen. Now, Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Amen. Watch this. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Because you're not under law, but under grace. What does that mean? What that means is if you're still under law, let me just break it down what Paul really meant. If you're still under trying to keep the Ten Commandments to make God happy, if you're still trying to keep the law to satisfy God, if you're still trying through your performance to impress God, sin is running rampant in your life. Sin operates in the environment of religious legalism and rule keeping. The Ten Commandments is steroids for sin.
Yep. Yep.
Nod your head if you understand that.
Amen.
I didn't know that till I was 50 years old. I thought the Ten Commandments were put in the Bible to show me how to be holy. Well, it was to show me how to be holy, but the problem is it doesn't have the power to make you holy. And there's the scripture right there. Sin shall not have dominion under you. When you come out from under trying to perform to impress God, and you begin to operate under the grace of God, his divine enablement working in your life. People say, well, I'm under grace. And I'm talking about the people we talk to, the pastors we talk to, the religious leaders, the pastors we talk to around the world. Many of their church members are shouting out grace, 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 but their lives are reflecting sin, sin, sin.
Right.
And when you really are operating under the grace of God, sin begins to get destroyed.
Yes.
That's what that says. People say, well, you grace preachers are just making it an excuse for sin. No, those are mercy preachers.
That's good.
Thank God for mercy. God's having mercy on every person on the planet, including the unsaved. Because
sure. Yeah.
Really, he could have killed all of us,
right. But
for Jesus.
Right.
But if you can see in this verse, grace is the power to no longer be under the dominion of sin. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 15, 56. This is one that really, I mean, honestly, changed my life about 2008. It was one of those deer in the headlights moments. I thought, who wrote that in the Bible? Who put that in my Bible? How many of you have one of those? Where'd that come from? Who,
yes.
Right? What, raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Like, where'd that come from? All right. There were so many things that we didn't understand until we got out from under trying to keep the law. 1 Corinthians 15:56 is a life-changing revelation if you'll open your heart to it. Amen. Watch this. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. What law? The Ten Commandments, or any rule or any law or any standard of performance that you're under when you try to relate to God based on your performance. It's going to strengthen addictions and sins and hang-ups and habits like crazy. The law, based on this verse, God wrote it, I didn't. The law strengthens sin. The purpose of the law of Moses was to magnify sin, empower sin in your life, so you would come to the end of your performance and say, Lord, I need a Savior. The purpose of the law is to realize you cannot heal yourself. You cannot save yourself. You cannot fix yourself. The law is to show you, you need a Savior.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's the purpose of the law. But what people do is they yell about not being and holler about not being under the law, but yet sin still has strength in their life, which means they're still trying to relate to God on their performance. Even though they yell grace, their heart hasn't changed. It's happening all over the country. Amen. Now, here's a telling verse. 1 Corinthians 15, verse, I think it's verse 9. 1 Corinthians 15, 9. Is it okay if we read the Bible in here? I know the Bible's going out of style in a lot of churches, but not here. If I can't show you in here, then all you got's my wisdom. And trust me, you don't want that. You want this.
Yes.
This is the Apostle Paul writing. He said, for I am, verse 9, the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Isn't it amazing? Paul is saying, based upon my past horrible life, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle. Paul's saying, my past behavior, my past performance, I'm even amazed God's even using me right now. We should never stop being amazed that God would even use me. Grace never needs to stop being amazing. Paul is amazed. He said, I don't even deserve to be an apostle because of what I did. He said, I tried to destroy the church. Verse 10, but. I love the but. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Say that out loud. By the grace of God, I am what I am. So grace has made you something that you didn't used to be. He said, I was a church killer. I was a church destroyer. I was an enemy to the church. But grace turned me from that and has caused me to be this. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Are you listening?
Yes.
Now notice this. Notice the empowerment. And his grace toward me was not in vain. Wait a minute. Why would Paul say his grace toward me was not in vain or pointless? Because it's possible to sit under the gospel and hear the grace of God, and it's in vain in your life because of your response to it. It's possible for you to go to your grave in the grace of God. You got to heaven, but the rest of it was in vain. Is this okay?
Yeah.
Now, why was it not in vain? Notice he explains what it means. When grace is in vain, when grace is not in vain, this is what it'll look like. Here's how you can tell that the grace of God is not working in vain in your life. He said, but I labored. Grace will cause you to labor. See, people have said grace is the absence of work.
No.
They even say, even there are certain grace churches now saying believing God is a work of the law.
No.
They even say praying. Don't tell me to pray. That's a work. That's works. No, it's work. But it's divinely inspired work.
Right.
Don't tell me to go to church. I'm under grace. Well, you're under stupid too. Because church was God's idea. You're yielding to the spirit of stupid to think that you can do okay by yourself. You know which of the caribou that the hyena gets? The one that starts feeding itself outside of the pack. They wait for the one that strays off on its own and wants to eat all by itself. I can feed myself. I can feed myself. I can feed myself. And the hyena says, that's right, and I can feed myself too. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to be solo in this Christian life. He'll lead you to a family that has habits, hang-ups, issues, problems, gossips, backstabbers, and people in the process of being made whole. And you're one of them. People say, well, I haven't found the perfect church yet. Well, quit looking, because the minute you sign up, it's not perfect now. You just messed it up. A church that appears perfect is the sickest puppy in town. Because you're self-deceived. I don't think I'm going to get on my Holy Who sermon today. Who all wants the full will of God completely coming to pass in your life? You want to lay on your deathbed the last day you're here saying, Lord, I finished the fight. I ran the race. I did it, Lord. I finished it the best that I could by your help, by your mercy. I didn't get it all right, but Lord, I left it all on the field. Instead of, I did it my way and died at 42 of an overdose. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get on your king. You saw what happened when Elvis did it his way. He died at 42 with an anointing and a calling that could have brought a generation to Jesus, but he used it to attract them to his hips. Amen. Now, what did he say? How do we know in grace? How do we know when it's not in vain? But I labor more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, oh here it comes, but the grace of God which was with me. He said it wasn't really me laboring, it was this divine empowerment on the inside of me that was inspiring me to labor more than I even wanted to labor myself. It inspired me to be productive for the kingdom of God. It inspired me to do what I didn't want to do in my own strength. It inspired me to lay my life down. It inspired me to go places I didn't want to go. It inspired me to love the unlovable. It inspired me to have mercy on the merciless. It inspired me to pray for those that were impossible. It inspired me to show up to a church where some people really, I don't like them a whole lot, but it's the grace of God. It didn't work in vain in my life. It caused me to do and be what I could not be in my own strength. I can tell you're operating under grace when I see this. Amen. Wave a hand if you understand what I'm saying. Now, thank God for his grace. But the grace of God, again, the plan of God is not going to come to pass automatically in your life. He will not force you to do what you're not willing to do. Now, if you'll just be willing to be willing, the grace will give you the supernatural willingness. But the grace of God will never override your will. It will strengthen your will supernaturally. I hope I'm making sense. Now, let's look at this will of God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. And you're going to have to just really listen fast so I can get this delivered out of my spirit. All right? 2 Timothy 1, 15. Is it possible to short-circuit the plan of God for your life? This is what Paul said in 2 Timothy 1, 15. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. So there was a bunch of people following the Apostle Paul. But before it was said and done, all of them jumped out of God's plan. They started out following the apostle. They started out following the plan. But Paul says, I just want you to know, all of those in Asia have turned from me, including these two guys. Wow. They jumped out of the plan. Wow. Amen? Yeah. Notice Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Praise God. Guys, the reason I keep asking if you're getting it, because I want to connect with you. I don't want to preach at you. I want to connect with you. So sometimes I'm not asking you to amen me because I have an issue of self-esteem. I'm a pastor. I want to make sure you're getting it.
Yeah.
Right? Does that make sense? Feedback matters to a minister. Maybe not to a lecturer, but to a minister is, are we connecting? Are we communing? So when I keep saying amen, 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 I'm asking for a communion.
Right, that's good.
This is a dialogue.
Right.
Not a lecture.
Right. Right.
Hey, that's good.
You know when somebody in Japan eats good when they belch. If you don't belch in Japan, it's an insult. To belch in Japan, in some cultures, is to say, thank you, that was awesome. Now in America, if you belch, they'll backhand you, you know. But in Japan, if you don't belch, they're insulted because it's like, you didn't give me any proof that that went in.
That's good.
So amening is a holy belch.
That's good.
Amen. Glory to God. Ephesians 5:14, talking to Christians. Therefore, he says, God says, awake, you who sleep. It's possible to be born again, but be asleep.
Uh-huh.
He's telling Christians to wake up. Awake, you who sleep. Look, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. He's talking to the Christians in Ephesus. He's telling them, you look as dead as the dead.
Mm.
How many of you know you can go to some churches and you don't know if it's a funeral or a celebration?
Right.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Religion has a death on it. Religion has a coldness, a irresponsive. Everybody's grabbing the chair and no one raises their hand. There is no joy. There is no exuberance. There is no life. It's like a funeral. And don't you dare say amen or they'll kick you out of the church. So let's just act like we're not dead. Lift our hands and just give the Lord thanks real quick.
Amen, amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your love, and your grace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, you know, when somebody's asleep, they look dead. It's possible to have resurrection life in your spirit, but you look dead in the pew. And in life, right? So, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Who's he talking to? He's talking to Christians. He's talking to born-again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking believers.
Yep.
And he's telling them, you can be a believer and walk like a fool.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. He said it.
Come on. Yeah. We're talking about born-again children of God, sons of God that have the wisdom of God in them. But he said, don't be a fool. Don't walk like a fool.
Right.
But as wise. And how do you do that? Verse 16. How do you walk as a wise person? Redeeming the time. You've only got this next 10 minutes just for this next 10 minutes.
That's true.
You've only got today.
Yeah.
And thank God for his mercy.
Yes.
But what about his grace?
Right.
To redeem the time. Redeem the time. Amen.
Yeah.
And then what? Because the days are evil. Well, if they were evil then, they're evil now. But they ain't no more eviler now than they were then. Quit acting like the devil is stronger now than he was 2,000 years ago. Because he isn't. He is as defeated now as he was then. He has disarmed now as he was then. Quit acting like he's got this last little flex he's going to do. He ain't got no flex. Pardon me, I got to go West Virginia on you. The devil is defeated. The days are evil. They've always been evil. They've been evil since Adam and Eve pulled their stunt. Don't magnify evil, but be aware the days are evil. But you don't be a fool and walk in the evilness of it. Redeem the time because the days are evil, but you redeem the time. Don't waste time like a fool. Don't waste time like foolish, evil people do, waiting till Friday to get drunk. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Make every day count in the unmerited favor of God. Woo! Tomorrow has an assignment on it. Man, that's straight from the hot. It's hot off the press. Yeah. Tomorrow has an assignment on it for you. Yeah. You're being sent into tomorrow with a mission. Somebody needs you to bring Jesus to them, even if it's just kindness and an open door and a smile instead of a finger, a hand wave. Come on. Instead of road rage, road grace.
There you go. Daily.
Instead of cussing them out, thanking God they didn't kill you. Redeem the time. Because your life matters. You matter. You're on a mission to love your children, love your husband, love your wife, love your in-laws. That takes grace. It's funny how we want to go to China and win the loss, but we just hope our in-laws go to hell. I don't know why I said that. Let it go. Sometimes the ones closest to us we're the least interested in. We want to get the fine china out for the neighbors, but don't want to get it out for our husbands, our wives, and our children. The ones we know the most, we appreciate the least. Man, I am slugging it right now, boy. Home runs. Just smile like that one didn't hit you. Go ahead and just smile. Say, glory to God. Just say, did you hear what he said? Because I'm thinking, I said it, but it's like it slapped me in the face, you know? Come on, you know what I'm saying? Do you understand my heart in this? Now, how do you redeem the time? How do you redeem the time? And don't be drunk with wine or on anything else, including your cell phone. You know what? I don't have a spirit of fear. You know what concerns me more than drunk drivers? Texting drivers. Do you really think you ought to be texting at 45 and 55 miles an hour? We are so hypnotized by our cell phone and addicted, but it's socially acceptable for your brain to be hijacked by the likes on Facebook instead of the whiskey in your belly. We don't have to toke on marijuana. Let's just get a high from our phone. It's the same chemical. It's the same chemical. We got a bunch of drunk drivers drunk on their cell phones. Addicted. You can't even walk away. You can't even sleep. Your cell phone has more intimacy in your bedroom than your partner. Leave the thing in another room. If your kids die, you'll read about it in the paper tomorrow. If the world blows up, the Lord will catch you out. Put your phone somewhere else. You ought to have more bedroom time with your husband and your wife than your phone. Get lose it, man. Break the addiction. Some of you are like you think you're the seventh wonder because you've got people following you. And what you don't understand is those 21 people that say they're following you, they're not. They're trying to see what you said about them. Redeem the time. Lose the phone and redeem the time. As much time as you spend on that phone, you could be a spiritual giant by now. But the Lord said, time is short. And he wants you to redeem what's left. Because if you can't redeem time, you can't redeem people. To the degree you disrespect time, you disrespect people. To the degree we start church late, we disrespect the ones that came on time. Well, we want to wait till others come. Oh, so you're going to punish the ones that were obedient. But most Americans show up 15, 20 minutes late because they want to bypass the worship and get a meal. Yes.
Ah, help us, Lord. Come on. That's right. Amen. Preach, Pastor.
Wow. Well, I come in after the worship. Really?
So you don't want to worship God?
Well, I just don't like our worship. But do you like the one we're attempting to worship?
Preach, 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 preach.
You come on in. You're fine. Are y'all listening? I'm not trying to be cute. I'm not trying to be cute. We worship. Listen. We worship more than we worship God. We've gotten into worshiping worship. Oh, I love Bethel worship. Ooh, it's awesome. Oh, I love Hillsong worship. Ooh, Victory's worship. Ooh, their worship. Ooh, that worship. Ooh. Ooh, ooh, ooh. It's not America's Got Talent. Maybe we need just to stop worship music altogether and just worship with a voice for about a year. We're worshiping worshipers. I'm not against this worship team. They're awesome. I'm not saying that. The devil's a liar. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about God is awesome whether we know how to express it right or not. And worship begins in the instrument of the heart.
Hallelujah.
Bible didn't say make a joyful noise. In other words, act like you're happy that we're worshiping God. Because God smiles all the time. God has never had a headache yet. I'm getting way off and I'm running out of time. Are you listening? And so, but what? Don't be drunk with wine, which is excess. But he didn't say don't be drunk. Just choose what you're drinking.
Yeah, that's good.
But be filled with the Spirit. How do you redeem the time? Be filled with the right thing. Be controlled by the right thing. Be drunk on the right thing. See, when I used to get drunk, I didn't control the alcohol. The alcohol took control of me. When I was drunk on movies and entertainment, I wasn't controlling the entertainment. The entertainment was controlling me. When I was addicted to the Dallas Cowboys, yes, I know, I'm ashamed of it. When I was addicted to them. If they won, I was happy all week. If they lost, I was depressed all week.
You were.
We won't talk about the Wildcat addiction. Even that has taken the place in many believers' hearts that it ought not be. I'm not going to stay there. You got to deal with that idol on your own. But anything that occupies your heart more than the love of God is not there to help you. Don't be drunk on these things. Don't be controlled by these things, but be filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Oh, man. So if he's telling them to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it's possible not to be.
Right.
You can have the Holy Spirit in you and even have received the Holy Spirit, but not be currently filled with him. Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Yeah, I received him back in 1942. Spoke with tongues back in 1942. Well, I didn't ask you what happened back in 1942. I said, are you filled with him now? Because the English, the present tense is literally this. Here's what it is in the Greek language. Be constantly being filled with the Spirit. Be in the constant process. And how do you do that? Verse 19. Speaking to one another. Well, that means you got to be with one another. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It may not be melody in my ear, but as long as it's melody in your heart, it's to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's another one. How do you be filled? Now, we all like that speaking and singing and thanksgiving and hallelujah, hallelujah. But submitting to one another. That's part of the Spirit-filled life. That's how you redeem time. You become submissive to one another. You don't always have the last word. You don't always have the last answer. Guys, I'm preaching to me too. It's all those. It's singing. It's speaking. It's giving thanks. It's being thankful. And it's submitting to one another. Not always correcting one another. Not trying to control one another. When you come under the control of the Holy Spirit, you will lose your need to control somebody else. If you're trying to control somebody else, you're out of control.
There you go.
Because God will not even manipulate and use witchcraft on people. He will give you the opportunity to respond, but if it's not from your heart, it's no count. He will not force you to have a relationship with him. He will not force you to submit to him, but he'll make himself available and say, I'm really good. I'm really good. I'm a good God. And I want you to submit to one another as you submit to me. And I got more, but I'm out. I've got other scriptures, but I'm out. But Lord, now, I said all that, Father. I believe I said what you told me to say. I think I did. I didn't do all the verses. But Father, it's my heart for me, for every person, for this gentleman that came here first service. So thankful that he did. It's my heart. Not even as a preacher. Just as Byron. Just as somebody trying to follow you, Lord. That every single person in this room find their place. Their what are they supposed to do? Number one, know how much you love them. Number one, know how much you love them. Just not be a doing, but a being. And then number two, to release that love to others by being full of your spirit, full of your presence. I believe, Father, that you put this in my heart for a reason, that you don't want us to live and die having not done everything you wanted us to do. And I know if we don't get it all done, you're not going to rebuke us when we get to heaven. I know that. And no one will get it perfectly right. I know that. I got the t-shirt on that one. But Lord, my prayer as we go is that somehow we make an adjustment, every one of us in our heart. Lord, I don't have it totally right, but I'm willing to be willing to do everything you called me to be, everything you called me to do. And then, Father, I feel like I need to pray this and say this before we go. Worship is not you always bringing your best to God. Very often, worship is you bringing your failures and your pain as a sacrifice. Worship is keeping it real with God, not trying to put on a performance for God. To bring our brokenness to the Father. To bring our failures to the Father. To bring our self-hatred to the Father. To bring our fear to worship the Father and not be ashamed to say, Lord, there's some stuff in my life. There's some broken places in my life. There's some habits in my life. But I'm not afraid of you, Father. I'm coming to you because you're the only one I can trust with these things. So, Lord, I'm not necessarily bringing you my best voice and my best song. I'm bringing you me, the one you love. And in my heart, Lord, I'm saying the best I know how, yes, I say yes. I trust you. I trust you. Would you bow your head with me? I don't ever want to ever not give the opportunity for all of us, any of us, to establish that connection. Salvation is such an easy thing. Jesus, it was hard on him, simply Romans 10, the Apostle Paul said, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Wow. So many of you have prayed this already, but we don't know who has and who hasn't. You don't have to come up to an altar and make a show out of it right where you are. Or even if you don't do it now and you do it in the car or at home or whenever, but make that connection. I want to pray with you now. Let's all pray together. It may help those around you. Just to the Father, say, Heavenly Father, I believe with all of my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead. And with my mouth, I confess Jesus is Lord. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart. I welcome you in to live in me. Change me in Jesus' name. So I thank you, Father. I am saved, born again. I'm a child of God because of Jesus. Now, would you just lift your hand and thank God for that? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Perchance in any or several prayed this today for the first time, I thank you. They're born again. Something new has happened on the inside of them. There's a new nature, a new presence on the inside of them. And Father, for those that have heard, I pray, Lord, that maybe in the car, at home, in the bathroom, wherever, Lord, that they'll have the confidence to confess you as Lord and receive you into their heart. We thank you. We praise you, Father, for this in Jesus' name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Did y'all receive that word today? Did the best I could. We're running late, and I'm already violating my word of starting on time. So come on, worship team. Let's get ready to go. We love you guys. If you need prayer up here for healing, anything, prayer, what finances, whatever, come, and we'll pray for you. Amen. God bless you. Love you guys. Thank you for being